Hi, everyone.
Let's see. Welcome, welcome. Nice to see you all and a few new faces. Hi, hi. All right. I think maybe Cassie, I think it's your first time here, so very warm welcome. And anybody else? I can't. Beth, I haven't seen you in ages. Nice to see you. Who else might be new? I think that's all right. Well, the format is we're going to share a meditation, and hopefully some words will come out of my very silent mouth today. But if no words come, then we wrap ourselves in silence together, which is probably even better. And then we'll have a bit of time for conversation. Hi, Greg. All right, be comfortable enough. And during the meditation, if your body tells you, I need to move, I need to change position, I need to drink, whatever, trust your body. Your body. But so for now, we're closing our eyes if that's comfortable for you. And just landing here together in the space we've carved simply by showing up, which I feel very grateful for today. This space that we co-create. And you know what? That's all we need to do. Here we are. Each one with our desire. Whatever we may name that desire that brings us to gatherings like this. And that's it. We've done our job. We can settle. Place our little flame, our little candle on the altar and recognize that in doing that, we have turned our attention, our desire in the direction of this mysterious beloved. This mysterious presence. And I say mysterious because it is quite mysterious. We know it so intimately. This, whatever name you give to it, we know it so close. And yet the mind cannot touch it. And in that way, it's mysterious. And in that way, it's closer than close. And so the mind, thinking can carry on. Everything can carry on. It's meditation is a space of pure welcoming, where everything that is arising is arising. Breathing. Thoughts can come and go. They're just relieved of having to deliver anything to do with this presence. And the body is free to be as it is, moment by moment, and it is relieved of any burden to express. This mysterious beloved. It's the other way around. Thoughts and bodily feelings and whatever is here for each one of us is welcomed in the in these invisible arms. There's no effort, there's no effort. There's no effort, she said three times. There is no effort. An effort is welcome. Because we could say that the desire for meditation, which is the desire for the self or for the beloved or for presence or for God, dare I say, that desire for the self comes from the self directly. So therefore, we could say that all that is necessary is to stay with this desire, and there's a kind of dynamism to this desire, which gently subsides. And leaves us where we long to be, or rather, reveals us to be where we long to be. And it's ever so simple. But it doesn't always feel simple. I'm fully aware of that. I'm just like each one of you. One moment it's simple and we stand or sit open-palmed, open-bellied, open-breath, open-hearted, touched by this invisible embrace. And the next moment, it's a wrestle, it's a struggle. And so again, we long for meditation, hopefully, in a way, the place of suffering is a place where the longing is hiding. Where the desire is not felt. That's the place of suffering. But the good news is that sooner or later, the desire, that little flame, is returned to us. And even that is effortless. There's nothing we can't explain it. Maybe it's an instinct, just like what happens between a mother and a child, so deeply instinctual. Perhaps it's the same here between each one of us and this holy mystery. There's a deep instinctual, unconditional I don't know what the word is. There isn't a word. And feeling our body, feel your body. Your body is that place, so very mysterious too, I guess. That place where the forgetting takes place and the remembering takes place. Feel your body just as it is, this moment, your tender body, your tired body, maybe postponing. If possible, the desire for things to be different. Rather being open. On a tactile level, open to my body moment by moment. Not knowing, not having so much of an idea or a memory that you can draw on, just this direct, raw feeling. That when I'm not in meditation, I'm always one way or the other manipulating. But here in meditation and meditation, or here in this openness, let's call it that, and this possibility of an effortless openness. Maybe I can taste my body fresh for no reason. For example, tasting the place where my pelvis meets the earth, that sensation called weight. And that feeling of the possibility of surrendering the weight to gravity, weight of my pelvis. Gravity being, in this case, a divine law. This call of gravity, deeply mysterious, allowing ourselves to feel it in this moment. Your pelvis, your hips, your perineum, touching the earth, feeling the temperature, the vibration, perhaps. There's no right, there's no wrong. There's the life of the body, the life of the earth. Movement of your breath. feel that the support, we usually feel the way it is held by me, the body. I'm holding my weight, I'm holding myself, I'm sort of keeping myself separate because that's what I was conditioned to do by my culture, by my education. I feel myself very much located inside the body bag. And I don't quite trust this thing called gravity and the support of the earth. Well, maybe in this moment, we could leave our cultural conditioning, our Western colonial conditioning out of the shrine, connect with our indigenous intelligence. Just let your body recognize her intelligence, her deep connection with the earth. Your legs opening to the earth. Your arms flowing down from the shoulders, they just do when they're sitting like this. And they're not needed for any task. Let those shoulders drop down. They'll take time because they have worked so hard to carry the burden of this separate one. So, no rush. And maybe feel your hands, whatever they're touching, or your palms facing down. Maybe they're touching your thighs or your knees. Hello, hands. Touch, tingling, temperature. And welcome the layers of tension and difficulty and pain of a body that, when it's allowed, begins to come undone. And with the coming undone, layers surface. They're not always easy. I'm going to mute whoever's not muted. It's not a pun, it's not a punishment, it's just that it's easier that way. And feeling the sense of touch, not just of your hands, but your whole body, maybe the sense of your skin, where your clothes and your skin are in contact. But this is light. Don't feel you have to sort of focus. Just let my words sort of wash over you, and maybe they awaken something, temperature of the air on your face, on your hands. Touch of whatever, the sensation of tactility in your skull, on your skull, back of your head, your armpits, space between your fingers. The body's so alive that the envelope, the place called the skin where it meets the air, and there isn't a separation there again. That's just a deep conditioning that makes us feel that we are living inside this envelope and that the skin is a boundary that separates us from the space beyond, all around. How could we think that? How could we feel that? What a shame. And here we can stop that. Let's stop that here now, just feeling the space beyond your body is your environment. And your body is the space's environment. It goes both ways. The air that you breathe. Taking your time, waiting patiently. Tasting patiently what is. If there's resistance, fear, agitation. Tasting that, allowing that means tasting it, feeling it with your tactile sense. Hello. Seeing where life takes you moment by moment. It's like a river, just flowing with the river. For no reason other than reacquainting ourselves with life. Feel your face. Are we allowed to feel our face coming back to life or not? Feel maybe first of all the not, feel the not allowed, feel how the face is a mask that has to stay more or less a mask. Tension, the rigidity of the face. It takes a lot to have a mask and to live behind that mask. And that's again part of the deep tactile conditioning. Some of it is natural. We need a face and we need to sort of locate ourselves in a body and behind a face, but we also need not to. We need to feel ourselves to be faceless and give our face a spa treatment. Let it come to life right now. Let it come to life. Your eyes, your forehead, your temples, your cheeks, your lips, your mouth, your teeth, your tongue, your chin, your ears. Just it's a web of sensation. Don't see your face. Don't remember your face. Just feel your face. I don't live behind my face. My face lives in me. I'm this open space in meditation. In meditation, I can be this borderless space, and my face has a borderless space in which to dance. See what happens. And you can extend that invitation to the whole body. I don't live in my body in meditation. In meditation, I live as the openness, and my body lives in me. Party time for the body. Let it go. Take the corset off, take the leash off. Be willing to let the weight of your body go. I don't live in the body, the body lives in me. I am this weightless spaciousness. I'm like the sky, like the blue sky, and now, woohoo, the body can be like a cloud. Let it be. Why not? Just for a bit. Feel it, cloud-like, weightless, the body. Yes. Your whole body, like a sort of mass of tactility. There's no danger. And you, I'm sure you do, because I do. You can feel the conditioning that brings you sort of back, that contracts you back into the located, weighted sort of feeling of being a fragment, of being separate. And that's natural. But the beauty of meditation is that we can become acquainted with that habit. We don't have to change it. Let it be and taste it. It's like another dish. Sometimes we taste the dish that's called the subtle expanded body that is reuniting with its weightlessness. And sometimes we taste the dish called, I don't know, located body, dense body, resistance, fear, anxiety. We taste whatever appears with our tactile mouth. We taste for the sake of tasting. For the sake of becoming acquainted directly with this body, with this life. Let's just do a tiny bit of movement. I'm very lazy today, but just slowly, and some of you know this movement, but it's always fresh and new, and it's always the first time. So let your forearms float off your lap. Your upper arms are alongside your torso. You don't have to open your eyes. You should be able to follow my directions. Of course, you can open your eyes. So your upper arms are just resting alongside your torso. Your upper arms are off your lap. Your hands are dropping down, fingertips dropping down, and your pelvis is surrendered to the cushion. Your legs, they don't have to be crossed, by the way, they can be uncrossed, whatever's comfortable. And then very slowly from your elbows, feel your elbows are sort of effortlessly pushing your shoulders up. So not from your shoulders, from your elbows, or from nowhere in particular. Feel your shoulders rising up like two clouds towards your ears. Just very slow, smooth, without doing it. That's the trick. And you stop before pushing, no pushing. And just let it float. Let the clouds float. The clouds that are your shoulders float, and at the same time releasing the weight of your pelvis and your legs the best you can, and the breath you're breathing. And then very slowly, the shoulders are melting down. Don't do it. Let it be. Let it happen. They're coming down. They're coming down. They're coming down. You're just tasting for no reason. Tasting down, smooth, down, down, down. Yes, and then just let your arms come back. Your forearms rest back down on your lap. Surrender your arms. Hello, arms. Ah. The arms are showing you the way of releasing weight. Now feel your head and your neck and gently just very small circles with the neck and with the head. Don't do it, just let it happen. Don't even visualize your head or know that it's your head and your neck. It's just a sensation appearing smooth. You're the space. There's a circle that has been traced in this space. Nobody doing it. Yes, and this it goes the other way. If you feel like you're doing it and you're located in the head, then just switch. You just apply the switch and you sort of say, this movement is appearing in me and I'm the space. Yes, and then just allowing the movement to come back to stillness, your head, your neck, let it come back without doing it. Where does the head come back to is the question. Hello, body. Hello, head and spine and pelvis and legs. Feeling now your whole body is allowed to move. Just not knowing, moment by moment, just let the movement arise like ripples. Let it be slow so that allows the mover not to come into the picture. It's as soon as we go a bit too fast, inevitably the mover, the doer comes in. So here we go very slowly. Sort of staying close to this quality of effortlessness, of surrendering of the weight. Of moving free of a located mover. We don't know where the movement comes from. And maybe even the arms are moving away from the torso. And yes, of course, there's a feeling of doing it, but let that feeling somehow be mysterious. Your fingers alive, your palms touching the air, the air. Maybe it's the air doing it. Maybe it's the earth doing it. There's no right and no wrong, trusting also the expression that is doing it. The expression meaning, I don't know what I mean. But maybe there's a dance taking shape. And the hands and the heart and the earth and the space, they sort of are shaping this dance together. And you can trust it. Yes, and then once again, let everything return in its own way, in its own time, back to a place called stillness or alignment. See what happens if you don't do it. Where do the arms go? Where does the pelvis take root? How does the whole body settle with the earth, with the space, with the totality? Maybe you feel a little bit more this sense of connection. Or even maybe you feel the sense of an absence of borders, an increased feeling of the tactile sense. And again, let the movement come. Slow, mysterious, spine, head, shoulders, touch. And of course, the physical body is welcome to be felt, the muscles and the bones and the substance of the body. Feel it. There is substance to the body. There's substance to you and to each one of us. It's that sort of paradox of me, this body, this person, this wave, very real and shaping itself moment by moment. But at the same time, this more, much more subtle sense of something bigger and more subtle. And I'm maybe this is too wordy and I'm becoming a bit heady. Just see what happens. You can contract, allow yourself to be this person, this individual, even drawing on a memory or on what happened today or on a feeling that's here. And yet, the next moment, allowing yourself. Allowing your skin to touch the space. The weight of your body to surrender to gravity, and suddenly there's another quality. Yes, and again coming back. Without doing it, sort of allowing the body to fold again. You're the space in which the body folds, ultimately, essentially, or the place in which the body dissolves. Let the body dissolve, just like my voice. When it arises and unfolds, it then dissolves. Everything arising, unfolding, and dissolving in you. You appearing, unfolding, and dissolving in you. That's the mystery. That's the paradox. Being both the wave and the ocean. And sometimes we can enjoy fully being the wave, even forgetting the ocean, but not really. And other times we can fully feel ourselves to be the ocean in meditation. Forgetting the wave. But not completely, because the wave is still alive. But in meditation, the wave, the person, the body person, the constellation of thoughts and feelings. In meditation, that constellation gets a bath of presence. It's the ultimate spa treatment for the body-mind meditation. So feel that in this moment, you can surrender whatever's still here, lingering, heavy, difficult. Whether it's a quality of thinkingness or a sadness. For this time in meditation, it can be bathed. It can be let go of. It can be given back to the totality. And the breath, let the breath be an angel. The breath is like an angel, always here, reminding us. Somehow, of this intimate connection. Of the body, mind, with the totality. And the in-breath is just and the in-breath. Permeating, receiving the embrace. the mystery, the mother, whatever we want to call it, for the in-breath. And with the out-breath, my words fall short. Your experience tells you the out-breath, the prayer that is the exhale. The prayer that is the inhale. The prayer that is the pause at the bottom of the exhale. And you can feel maybe that the breathing can become more effortless in meditation. We don't remember or know who does the breathing. We don't know. The habit of being this located breather can begin to relax a bit. There's the in-breath, the pause, the out-breath, the pause. The in-breath, there's no pulling. The out-breath, no pushing. That's the possibility. And of course, there may be pulling and pushing right now. And no judging, just tasting. That's the gift of this meditation, that it can reveal the habit of separation for what it is. The habit of being a breather. It's innocent. But then you can explore the possibility of breath free of a breather. And again, I really want to say that to feel the place of being the separate one, the separate breather, the separate mover, the separate self. It's so welcome. There's no rush to purify that. It's natural. But as soon as you allow yourself to feel it and welcome it, and or rather, when you feel it, you are welcoming it. When you're welcoming it, you're returning it to the totality, to presence. So again, this breathing, and I'm just reminded, I don't know if some of you have ever gone to visit Amma, the hugging saint, and when you go see her, one of her guys, I don't know what they're called, she's got a bunch of two or three really nice guys. Anyway, they teach a meditation, and I always love this one. which is with the breathing. And it goes like this, that in your, without making a sound, on the in-breath, you feel ma. And without making a sound, on the out-breath, you feel oh. So with the in-breath, it's ma. And with the out-breath, oh. And you don't have to do it. That's just what's happening. The in-breath pervading your experience with the Invisible Mother. And with the out-breath, returning everything to Shiva, to the totality. Don't do anything. Thank you, everyone. Let's have a 7 minute break since it's 28 past the hour. We'll come back and at 25 to go gently, and thank you for following me in my meandering meditation. It's really sweet of you. See you soon. Whoops. What have they done? Oh, here we are. Welcome back, everyone. Well, we've got a bit less than half an hour. Feel free to speak, ask, share. It's informal, as you know, and you can just unmute yourselves or and there's no obligation, and you know this is a safe group, so you know it's an opportunity if you want to. I mean, we don't have much time, but I know it's a challenging, you know, we all know it's a challenging time and all this kind of thing, and I feel like it's a fine line. At the moment, like we need the rigor of meditation more than ever. I don't know if you agree with that, that the sort of rigor of a space where we're not engaging with what's going on in the world, but returning to something more essential. But then, you know, we also have to engage with what's going on and find a way to align it with our spiritual understanding. So, and we don't have to talk about it. I'm just rambling. Shut up, Ellen. I'm just sort of paving the way so you feel the freedom to.
Owen?
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Owen. Hey. Am I coming through all right?
You are, as well as other voices, but that's fine. No, that's good.
Yeah, sorry, there's a little bit of background. Well, yeah, thank you for this. Yeah, really thank you for that meditation. I think I was just, I guess I'm just throwing this out here. Yeah, it felt good to have, I guess, permission to kind of stay with the separate self, kind of get like, or I know there's a lot of names for it, but yeah, just like I guess my body was feeling like a big no. I mean, it's felt like a big no for the last day or so.
Yeah.
And it was good to be able to just let that happen. So thank you.
You're welcome, Mark. I know the feeling of that big no or that small no, and I'm glad you could feel it because that poor no gets sort of layered heavily with more no usually. Like there's a no, and then there's a no to the no, and then there's a no to the no to the no, and on we go. And there's not, and I think it's very difficult to really find space to begin to say yes to the no. I think these kinds of gatherings somehow we create a field together where we can tolerate. It's like a threshold where you have to sort of find it again, this yes to the no, and the courage to not be engaging in the project of make prying the no into a yes. It's like, no, that doesn't work. So it's so simple and yet so sometimes difficult. And I really do feel that together we manage better. I mean, as we know, we've heard this, Jesus said, when two or more gather in my name, I'll be there. I really feel that's true. And if there's more than two, it's even better.
Thank you for that. And there's a lot of, I imagine you know, there's a lot of layers to the no. There's a lot of ways to resist. There's a lot of a lot of ways to conceptualize things and not really feel things and things like that. So, I'm giving myself a little bit more patience with that. And this is incredibly helpful, like you said. Just having this group. So thank you for that.
You're welcome, Mark. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you.
And I just want to maybe add that hopefully the meditations can point to the tactility of the yes, meaning this openness or the sensation, the tactility of the borderlessness or the sky-like space that these layers arise in, that during the meditations there are moments where we are also relieved of the burden a bit. So it's a back and forth, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, well, maybe that's, I mean, maybe that can lead to a question here. I felt like I used to get that access to the, I guess, being or presence or whatever more so, like a couple years back or whatever. And I get access to it, don't get me wrong, but if I've got, I guess maybe that's the, like, if you don't, is that alarm? Should you be alarmed?
Go to the doctor immediately, Mark. No, you should not be alarmed. Well, you can be alarmed. If you're alarmed, you're alarmed, which I don't know what that is. That might mean many different things, but I think I was saying a little bit during the meditation, I spoke about our desire for presence, our desire for, and that sometimes that desire itself is obscured. Sometimes there isn't a desire, and you know, that's the height of suffering in my book. It's and we all experience that sometimes. But sooner or later, because once a truth lover, always a truth lover, or once a God seeker, or once a, you know, it's going to come back. It's not that it's going to come back. It's going to make itself, its presence known. It's going to call you back. That's, I mean, there are no recipes. There are no tricks that we, there's no, and yet there are no tricks. They're only miracles. But the miracles, you know, they're not like sort of glamorous miracles like Jesus. They're small miracles, like waking up feeling shit, and then I don't know, like something, somebody's face, something happens in your heart. You break down crying. That's a good one. That's a miracle. You break down crying. That's a good. Usually that will soften your heart, and then, or a moment of helplessness, that's a miracle. The moments that are not so miraculous are the moments where we're really, really struggling, fighting, resisting, and defending. So perhaps a hint would be to realize that when that's the case, there is something much more vulnerable sort of behind, and you might need the help of a friend or come to a meeting like this, or just to access the softness or the more tender feeling or the tears or the, or sometimes the anger, the emotion that's more embodied, more raw. I'm going to let Andrea speak.
Yeah,
Mark, we don't have very much time, but we'll come back to this over and over again. Oh, Prema is saying, my microphone isn't working. I like this definition of a miracle. That is beautiful. Okay, I'll read it later, because I want to get to Andreas, who has his hand. Hi, Andreas.
Okay, maybe there is a question and maybe comment here.
Wait,
For the
Andreas,
comment,
I can hardly hear you.
check. Okay, test check.
Check,
Okay.
check.
Maybe there is a question. There is a longing for this invisible mother to be embraced by the invisible mother, and you say it in a few weeks and now also about this invisible mother. How to say this? How to allow this longing that is kind of longing, and then actually is wanting to embrace by the invisible mother. Yeah.
Well, it's, oh goodness me. Are you feeling, it sounds like you are feeling the longing, Andrea.
Yes.
So just stay with the longing. She is in the longing. She is the longing. So when you feel the longing, sit in the longing. Don't think that you have to act on the longing, because that's just business as usual, where I want to go have a double cappuccino, so I got to go buy the double cappuccino with money. But here it's like, I want mama, and you don't realize it, but it's mama who wants you, Andreas. It's so when you feel the longing, just try to just stay with the longing and go quiet, feel it in your heart, and don't do anything. Just wait patiently. She's here already, but it's just that you're still in the belief that I need to do something to meet that longing. You don't. But that's just a residual dynamism, that's because we're very conditioned to operate like that.
Yes, thank you. And maybe just a comment. I appreciate that you in the last week and now also there is a hinting to not to escape to the pure awareness, but also to embrace the humanity, but not also to absorb
That's
the
right.
humanity, but also kind of like not here.
Exactly. Impossible. Mission impossible. That's it, you know. That's what we're doing here. Mission impossible. There's a lot of paradox in this life. Exactly as you say. Not That's why more and more I feel drawn again to the Christian tradition, because it seems to me that in that tradition, there is, the human, Jesus was a man. I mean, it's a shame there wasn't a woman there as well. But I mean, it doesn't matter. But we are both human, very much human beings, and yet carrying this divinity, and we're divine, but we are on a human journey, which so there's limits in the fact of being a human. That comes with limitations, with a sense of being on a journey, with a sense, the possibility of becoming whole, more and more whole, of suffering. Suffering is not a mistake, and sometimes in the non-dual circles, it can be misunderstood. Like, we feel like, oh, if I'm suffering, it means that I'm believing myself to be a separate self, and I need to, uproot that belief, and then there'll be no suffering. I don't think that's right. Suffering is part of this very, very paradoxical, beautiful crucible of being a human being, and being and having as our essential nature pure awareness.
Thank you.
Thank you to you, Andreas, for your beautiful smile. Thank you. Maybe I'll read what Prem, because it sounded like maybe there was a message to all of us, but now I can't find it. Does anybody else have access to the messages? Where are they? They've disappeared. Okay.
I can read it for you if you would like.
Okay, Eugene, thank you.
So Prema says, my microphone isn't working. I like this definition of miracle as that which softens our heart. That is beautiful. Thank you, Alan. The sense of borderlessness was palpable to me as I stepped outside and lay down on the grass. It was melting, merging, and comforting. It feels more accessible or more tangible to me when I can be in the nature.
Thank you, Eugene. Yeah, no, I get that one for sure. Nature is the ultimate teacher. I mean, when we're in nature, we there's so much, so much help, nature. Thank you, Prema. Yeah. I don't know if some of you might know Zaya and Maurizio, Science and Non-Duality, and they've been making these films. And I was lucky enough to see their next film, which will come out soon, but it's about they went to all these indigenous cultures all over the world and stayed with them and made a film. And it's all about sort of indigenous, I mean, trauma coming from having been plundered by the colonial Western drive. Anyway, when I was watching that film and I was really grieving this colonial attitude and they're seeing their, the deep connection with nature. It's innate to all of us. Of course it is, but and we are all indigenous at heart or at body. We're all children of the trees and the earth and et cetera, et cetera. And and I think nature, I mean, I'm saying such a platitude, it's obvious, but yeah, nature, trees, earth, grass, animals, instinct, smell, all our senses have been dulled by our culture. And nature teaches us not to plunder because we don't see it in nature. Yes, of course, there are predators and things happen in nature that are gory and violent, but it's not out of, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to stop right there. Yes, Cassie. Hi.
I just want to say thank you so much. I feel really lucky to have stepped into a space that feels so loving, and I can feel the connection between all of you, and I'm just stepping into the nectar of this web that you clearly have been tending to. And I just want to, yeah, acknowledge everyone's presence in the contribution, the co-creation of that beautiful journey, Ellen, that you gifted us maybe through your words, but the collective beingness of everyone. And I love this reference to nature because I think I was experiencing perhaps like the realm of the psyche as nature, and I was becoming aware of like the movement that I was only able to access because we are together. And I'm not just sitting here on my own doing my own meditation, but there's something about when we come together, there is this otherness that allows the things that are in my mind and in my kind of just human form and then my formless way, to maybe move in a way that I just couldn't do if I was sitting here on my own. And I really felt that. And so I'm really privileged to step into that and just, wow, to experience the movements of my inner being just as nature, just by the simplicity of doing it with our shared intention and Ellen steering the way, but all of that just being just a very natural gift as we. Yeah, how do we remain in the miracle of softening when everything is unfolding as it is on the planet. And that paradox, I really love that was touched on with Andreas's sharing as well. So yeah, it's really beautiful to be here and just lovely to meet you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassie. It's so nice to have you. And nice that you can pick up on this because it's so true that it's a co-creation. Even online, you know, we manage to feel this field. And some of us have been gathering for years now. But some of us come and go, and some of us are newish. And I don't know, it's lovely that we need each other, right? We really do. And when we come together with this intention, this sort of pure intention, which is far from, it's pure, but it's not like anything's perfect here, but just in that imperfect purity of intention and desire to, I don't know, to reconnect, to touch something real, to yeah, to touch the mystery. Each one of us will have an experience, and it sounds like you were able to, something about movement for you, maybe. Yeah. And you use the word psyche, which of course I love that word, but it's not necessarily understood, but I see psyche as God. The totality of psyche is. So I like that word. It's also a mysterious word. Thank you for being there, Cassie. Here.
I have something really quick to share.
Yes, Janet.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
And that is that, especially right now with the state of the world, I feel it in my body so much fear so often. But when we sat down, I was overwhelmed with this sense that it's safe to love, and just that it was just a profound sense of, yeah, always. It's always safe to love. So thank you for that. Thank you, everybody, for.
Oh, thank you, Janet. I mean, we don't need to sort of take ownership of thanks, but thank you. That's such a lovely, you know, because we usually say, think of safety for me. Is it safe for me to receive? To, but you're saying it's always safe to give love. Thank you, Janet. Yeah, it is a bit concerning what's going on over there in your neck of the woods. But it's always safe to love. Okay, everyone. We will meet again, yes. Big hug. What date is it today? So in 2 weeks we'll meet again. Take care. Feel free to unmute to say bye and
I love
Hey.
you. Love you, love you, love
Yes, love you very much, Ellen. Thank
you.
you.
Thank
Bye.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
I
Ellen.
love everybody here.
Yeah, everybody, you.
It was
To you and you and you and you.
yeah.
Ellen's birthday last weekend.
Good.
Woo!
Happy
Happy
birthday.
birthday, Ellen.
You. Lots of love to all of you. One day we'll be together in the same space, I hope.
Oh, yes, maybe
Yay.
true. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Wonderful to be here.
Oh, lovely to have you, Beth, too, and everyone.
Bye.
That's out.